Welcome back, everyone.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back.
This is Hello UX, a user-focused podcast aimed to help those pivoting into UX.
We're here to empower designers and to help those transitioning into the UX field by providing education, resources, and a platform to talk about their experiences.
Come because you're curious, stay to be empowered.
Thank you for joining us for Season 3, Different Paths on User Experience, Episode 3, a conversation with customer experience designer Alisa Kondra.
So with this interview, I wasn't really sure what to expect because I wasn't well-versed or I really didn't understand what a customer service designer was. But the more Alisa spoke, the more I was like, oh, the light bulb went off and I understood what it meant. It was just kind of like how some people don't understand what UX is, but I loved your barbershop example that with your mentee, that just, it's a perfect way to see how everyday things you do and you don't even realize that you're doing them for a customer or a user. So yeah, so it was great to listen to Alisa speak.
Right. And I'm on the same boat. I too was not too sure the difference between customer experience designer versus UX designer. But part of the theme that she goes into and she lays it out as the interview goes is where the difference is as far as what level of UX designer you are. When you're a beginning level, yes, you're only looking at the experience of one particular situation. Versus when you're a more senior level, you're looking in like overall experience for the person and not necessarily just one path. So it was very interesting to get that perspective because then it finally made sense to me too.
Absolutely. Same here. And I was sad to miss the interview, but it was great listening to it.
Yeah, yeah. And I hope this is something that Harlotis can expect for future episodes. We will be, you know, kind of passing the baton between each other. And sometimes it'll be, you know, just myself during the interview, or sometimes it'll just be Angelina, and sometimes it can be the both of us. It just depends on what works for our schedule.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that the Hellotis will stick around and listen to this great interview with Alisa.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for Hello UX Podcast. We have a very special guest with us today, Alisa Kondra. Alisa Kondra has more than a decade of experience designing engaging user experiences and developing strategic digital applications, delivering on customer and business objectives. Alisa has worked in UX design, research, consulting across various industries to include financial services, banking, insurance, retail, and e-commerce. She has also taught UX UI bootcamps and mentorship programs, and she is also the creator of UX Adjacent. Anything else I might have missed, Alisa?
I think that covers it now. I might think of more things to throw in there as we go.
Nicely, nicely. Okay, and I'm just going to add right now that I love your accent.
Oh, thank you. I grew up in Wisconsin, and then I moved to Australia, and I lived there for about 6 years. And I said when I moved there, I wasn't going to be one of those Americans that come back with some sort of hybrid accent, and my friends all say I do. So,
yeah, you could hear it, you know, kind of faintly, but it's still there. And yeah. I would imagine it's hard not to immerse yourself in the accent of where you're at. I had a kind of similar experience years ago when I visited Mexico City. They also have a certain type of speaking.
Yeah.
And my friend and I were laughing because we were there for like maybe about 2 weeks. And when we came back, we were speaking still like,
yeah, you know. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I would like to ask you if you could walk us through your UX design journey and finally how you ended up with a focus in customer experience design.
Sure, sure. So I went to University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire and graduated with business degree in information systems. So I started my career as a business analyst, and that was something I had learned about in business school, and I had an eye on that already, which I think a lot of people, especially when I graduated 15 years ago, didn't necessarily know about that side of IT and software development. The business analyst is, I think, very similar to kind of what I do today, which sits in between people and systems in a lot of ways. So I kind of had that idea that I like technology, but I wanted to be as much people-facing as I could versus coding. So I started my career as a business analyst, worked there for a few years, at an insurance company and then moved over to an agency. And I think with a lot of other people, and I think guests on this show have said as well, the timing for that just happened to work out very well in terms of I was sitting there as a BA doing wireframes, gathering requirements for customers, translating those to developers when, you know, the agency said, you know, this is, we need to start offering this as user experience. It's called user experience now. And you are now a user experience designer, so go figure out what that means, and we're going to sell your time. I'm always up for something new, learning new skills. I think that's, you know, very important for anyone to succeed in the business world, is to see where the next kind of opportunity is and help upskill yourself. And I was very lucky in that I was at an agency that helped me to do that. So I learned a lot on the job, did a bit of training there, worked as a user experience designer in that agency for a while, and then left to travel for a while. So I traveled for about 2 years and met my now wife, who is Australian. And we moved to Sydney, and I did a little bit more as a user experience designer, really focusing on that design side. So personas, journey maps, wireframes, that sort of thing. And then I really wanted to understand research, customer research, a lot more in depth. So I went to a research agency, which was a really good experience. Sat with, you know, behavioral science type of consultants. I learned more formalized research techniques, did user research for a few years, and then went back kind of to the more design side with a whole new appreciation and understanding of research techniques, and worked. Then I moved into sort of an innovation agency. So I kind of got to put everything together, do a lot more facilitation. And that's where I define myself more in customer experience with the user experience. And I can certainly dive into sort of where I see the difference in those two disciplines.
Yeah. And one thing I like to ask, especially of people that have the opportunity to work in a different market, was there any adjustment in your mindset when you were working here in the States as a designer versus being in Australia, as far as like any social differences or things that you had to adapt?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it was lucky in a lot of ways, like Sydney, especially in Australia, there's a lot of similarities in terms of the culture and how, you know, businesses work and are structured. The culture, I was definitely, was some adjustments. I think the US, you know, there's certain things that Australia, I think, does much better. Like there's, I mean, 4 weeks vacation is sort of the minimum.
Nice.
I think the work-life balance was, I found the work-life balance to be a little bit better, a little bit more relaxed in terms of, you know, supporting each other to get what you need to be done and go home when it's done. So I think Australians are a little bit more laid back in terms of work culture, but I was lucky in being in UX. I think the discipline of UX was, and probably still is, a little bit a few years behind. So coming as someone who had several years experience with a UX design title, I was in a good place to, you know, apply for roles and bring that experience into places where UX was just starting to be introduced. So being able to sort of teach as I delivered on a lot of the design work that I did.
Nice, nice. And my next question to this is, so I'm trying to wrap my head around what is the difference between customer experience designer versus UX designer. Can you talk a little bit about that, as far as you believe that customer experience design is in itself a role, or is it something that is a component of UX design?
Yeah, so I think a lot of companies do use them interchangeably. So I wouldn't be too worried about roles as you're, you know, applying for jobs. But the way I talk about it, which the most of the time when I talk about it, it is, like I said, sort of helping to teach organizations, you know, how to structure and build their teams, or just how to help the business side think about what UX and CX does. So the way I think about it is, customer experience is the full product experience. So it's thinking about product thinking in mm-hmm. is another term that people use that I think it's really kind of the full spectrum of interactions between a customer and a company.
Okay.
And user experience, I would say, if you're differentiating, a user is a user of a system. So a user of a system might be one component. Mm-hmm. That system might be one component in a full customer experience. So for an example, like if you have a company that's got several sort of touch points. So if you're an e-commerce company, you know, your customer might see an ad, they might get emails, they might then go to your website, they might go to your app, your website on mobile, they might, you know, receive a product in the mail, physically open that. Those are all customer touch points, where a customer experience designer will think about that entire process from end to end. If you're designing a user experience, you might be designing the website and you're a user of that website. So I think it's definitely a distinction. If you can articulate that and mm-hmm. you can help other designers and business side sort of explain that and say, you know, this is how to think about person holistically as a customer rather than they're here today to use the system, I think that'll definitely set you apart from other designers. Another example I like to use that, you know, people use Airbnb a lot in UX mm-hmm. examples, but Airbnb is a good one because if you think about it from a user point of view, you might come to the website and say, you know, we like to, in UX, we like to define the problem up front or the user need. You might say the user needs to book a place to stay for the night. So that's mm-hmm. the user need that the website might solve. But if you're thinking about this from a customer experience designer mindset, you might say, but what's the problem that a person has before they get there? And it might be sort of where Airbnb started. Well, it's, you can book a place to stay in a lot of places, but you know, hotels are a bit stale. They're boring. They're mm-hmm. not, you're not immersed in the local life. You know, there's a lot of problems that Airbnb as a product solves. Mm-hmm. And then by the time somebody gets to the website, then they're a user of the website whose goal is to book a place to stay.
Okay. Okay. So wrapping my mind around this concept, now I'm looking into the process itself. So if we're looking into various touch points, then being customer experience design focused, would we be looking at the different user journeys and working on the different user journeys?
Right. So if so thinking about this as a customer experience designer, and like I said, it doesn't really matter what your title is, but having a customer focus or mm-hmm. a product focus, I think is the way to come to like the most effective solution. So if your goal in a product is in a project is to redesign a website, thinking about it as a customer experience designer will still help you think about from a process standpoint. Let's start with the overall objective. So I might start with, I actually wrote a blog post and I can send this to your users. Yeah. But I was just looking at it before we started talking about, it was about 5 years old, but it's still, I think, very relevant. So you might start with really high level goals. So talking about what's your business objectives? What is this company trying to do for the next 5 years? And where does this website, you know, fit into that? So how are you getting clients today? How is it working? How's your pain points? What are people coming to you with as far as feedback? You know, it's looking at the whole thing and saying, mm-hmm. okay, now you're saying I'm trying to do a website to make more sales. But if we look at it from this whole, from a customer point of view, you know, maybe we come up with some additional objectives. So I think from a process standpoint, you know, it's similar, but maybe where I start with the questions is a bit different. So I come all the way back to tell me about, you know, what your business is trying to do in the next 5 years and where, you know, what I'm doing fits into that.
Okay. So in the UX team concept, you're working this as a team. What does that process look like? Are you there in the initial stages of discovery and, you know, from that point on till you deliver the product?
So it's interesting because, like I said, a lot of companies do use CX and UX pretty interchangeably. And I mm-hmm. do a lot as well, probably in my day to day. And what you probably found and a lot of your listeners have found is every company does CX and UX in a different way. So it's really mm-hmm. hard mm-hmm. to find it's really hard for me, even thinking about my career, to find places where I've done something that's the same from company to company and even project to project, right? So right. It's hard to say for exactly kind of what this looks like as a team. A lot of times I will be the only UX person on the team, but if I think in an ideal world, you have, especially for bigger companies, you might have a customer experience, a senior person that's looking after the whole customer experience who has several UX designers underneath them that might be looking at different aspects. So it's right. important to for a UX designer to understand the full picture, but it might not, their role might be there on this product and there's another whole CX team on a different product. They need to know what each other are doing, but there's a senior person or sometimes like chief customer experience
officer. Yeah, lead
officer,
designer.
Mm-hmm. That oversees the whole thing and make sure, you know, it's seamless sort of from beginning to end. Again, if you're thinking about every sort of touch point that somebody might have with that customer.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. And in your opinion, do you believe that there's certain people that are pivoting from a different industry that you feel might have that edge, not be more successful, but be able to step into that role of customer experience designer just because of the background they have?
I mean, I can speak for my own experience. I think mm-hmm. what's helped me really be successful as a customer experience designer mm-hmm. is, like I said, I started as a business analyst, so probably more focused on the business requirements and the system requirements.
Right.
I think coming to that customer side later, I understand the value of coming as a customer first or putting the user first. But I think we still need to have an eye on what the business is trying to do. So I think people who do really well in these roles understand the user needs, the business needs, and mm-hmm. the system requirements, and can speak fluently to all of those different stakeholders. So the thing that this is one of the big differences, I think, between junior designers and senior designers is being able to make those decisions between what the business is telling you have to do and what you see that the customer is telling you have to do. So
right.
That's a bit of a juggling act. So I think if you understand business, you're going to be able to make the customer happy in a way that doesn't sort of cause any tension with what the business is doing. And it's a fine line a lot of the time. So understanding, okay, you know, this is what they have money to do, and this is, we're trying to get new users at all costs or whatever it is, but the user is saying we need this to make it work. I think being able to have those conversations and speak the language of the business while advocating right. for the user is a huge part of design that you don't really spend time with in boot camps. I think that's really comes from on the job experience in, you know, any number of business roles.
Right. And that makes a lot of sense. As people are transitioning from, you know, finishing the boot camp, landing their first UX role, the people that are waiting, you know, they're still waiting for that opportunity mm-hmm. to come. What would you recommend?
Yeah, I think any experience you can get is going to help you. So if someone asked me mm-hmm. of a few different paths, I would say taking a job, even if it's not the ideal title or even if it's not directly in UX, is probably going to give you better experience than trying to do UX all on your own when you're first starting out. So I think if you can get in with a nonprofit or get something that'll help build that experience, there's definitely not no downside. But even before that, if again, this is a bit biased mm-hmm. coming from my experience, but what I found is, and what I recommend to students that I've had or people mm-hmm. that I'm mentoring is try to do UX in whatever job you have. I mean, UX is not something that is like super secret, hidden behind closed doors, and you can only do it if that's your job. I mean, a UX is seeing a problem, defining that problem, creating a hypothesis, thinking of ways you can test and research, ideating solutions, testing those solutions, build, prototype, iterate, test. I mean, it's something that you can really do anywhere. It doesn't have to be designing digital experiences. I mean, if you're a recruiter, if you're working in HR as a recruiter and you want to take a UX bootcamp or you're doing a UX bootcamp part-time, how can you build UX thinking into what you're doing mm-hmm. now? You know, identifying yeah. a problem with a form that you have. Okay, people are coming to us and saying they don't know how to fill out this form. Well, how can we design a new process or design a new form, right, or, you know, create a Word document that solves some problem, and then I'll iterate and test. And, you know, then when you go to a UX interview and say, here's how I was already doing, right, it in my job, I identified that I love doing that, and I took a boot camp, and now you stand out from someone who just quit their job, did a boot camp, and now is trying, feeling like they're doing something completely different. So definitely if you're working anywhere near software design, you can do this. But even as a journalist, you know, you might say,
right,
I'm getting a bunch of emails, you know, all the emails that we get to our help line is asking, mm-hmm, the same thing. How can I, you know, create a hypothesis, do some research, build and test within, you know, whatever problem I'm trying to solve. And then think of yourself as a UX designer while you're doing that.
Yeah, I found that amazing as a teaching assistant. I had one student that I was tutoring, and midpoint through the boot camp, he tells me, I still don't understand what UX design is. And I was like blown away, like, what? Like, you know, we're almost going to finish and you still have not made that connection. So he was a barber. He had his own business. And so one of the ways that I kind of helped them like come to that aha moment, I said, okay, so let's think about what you've been doing right now. What are the ways that you have made the experience better for the people that are coming to seek your business? You felt like, you know, maybe when they come in, I offer them a drink, I have snacks for them. You know, what are those small things that you did to make them feel like, yes, I want to be here, I want to spend my money here? And he's like, okay, yeah, you know, he was making that connection. And he's like, well, you've been doing UX design. You know, you've, exactly, been looking at bettering the experience for this person that's walking into your business.
Exactly.
Oh, you know, it was like, you know, that moment.
Yeah.
But,
And if he talks about that in an interview and say, people didn't come to me because they wanted a haircut. They came to me because they wanted to look and feel good. I mean, that's a, yeah, subtle shift that people probably already are doing, but you're thinking like a UX designer in that way.
Yeah. And I sometimes feel like, even like for myself, I felt like some of the concepts, I was making them harder on myself. For some reason, I was just making them more complicated than they were. And so I found myself a lot of times like, okay, step back, Jasmine. What is the objective of doing this part right here in the UX process? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you got this, you know, it's like, I guess it's just that intimidation of, you know, doing something different than what you were doing. But in essence, sometimes your experience or the path, you know, that you had working, you probably have done those elements before. Mm-hmm. And so it's just making that connection. I will now take a break, hear a word from a sponsor, and we'll be right back with our featured guest.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. We're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Welcome back, everyone, and we'll continue our conversation.
What resources would you like to share for someone that is just beginning their journey?
Yeah, so like I said, a lot of what I learned has been on the job, but in that first, mm-hmm, job when I was helping develop, we're offering now as customer experience, I took a course and did some of the readings and things from a woman called Susan Wycheck. Okay. She calls herself the Brain Lady. The website is theteamw.com. She's got podcasts, she's got courses, she's got books. And so she comes to UX from a sort of a behavioral psychology background. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I thought that's interesting. And there's a lot of good content there. And if you want to just start with the podcast, that's a good way to sort of dive into that sort of thinking. I love Skillshare. That's, mm-hmm, a platform that has they have a UX course on there about customer research. So getting started with customer research. And I joined when I was creating that that course and have since taken lots of courses, lots of different things. I started more in UX and I've done UI design more recently. So I've done a lot of UI design courses on there. I love the monthly fee for unlimited courses because it's just everything you could ever want on there. I recently found one, a website, and I can't vouch for all the content on here, but it's called The Future with okay. no E. Mm-hmm. And they have a course. It's a lot of it is about building a design business, building yourself as a design business, a smaller, you know, or a freelance design business. And one of the courses on there is about leading discovery workshops. So this is another element of UX design that I think is a big difference between senior and junior design people. So if you want to set yourself apart, get practice and understand how to lead discovery workshops. So how to get information from clients about what mm-hmm. their business does, what their users need without asking them, because they don't really know, right? If you ask them what to put on their website, they're not going to know. It's about how to pull the requirements out of people whose job it is to do something else. So leading and confidently leading workshops and leading discovery parts of projects, I think is one of those things that's just practice. But I saw a course on there from a designer who was formerly at Razorfish that have a lot of good stuff that come out of there. So I'll send you some of those links, but those are just a few that I would recommend. And of course, your podcast.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for sharing those resources. Yeah, all the ones you mentioned are new to me. So I'm definitely going to look into them. Now, I would like to ask you about your own initiative, UX Adjacent. How did that come about?
Yeah, so one of the things I've been interested in lately is writing about UX. So mm-hmm. I've started doing a bit more writing on Medium, which is a great platform as well for, you know, reading me or any of the thousands of other UX writers. So through some of the writing I've done on there, I decided to create my own newsletter called UX Adjacent. And mm-hmm. the idea is, you know, UX, it's for UX designers, but it's not necessarily UX content. So I find a lot of other things that I find interesting across the web and across different, you know, content platforms that it just makes me think differently. And in some ways it ties back to UX, just because UX is so broad and there's so right. many things where you can, it's so much about people that learning interesting stories about people in other ways, often, you know, makes us better designers. So that's I enjoy writing and I enjoy sharing different tools and stories. So that's a newsletter that I started that I would love for any of your listeners to have a read at uxadjacent.substack.com.
So you all heard that. Okay. Make sure you check it out because there's a lot of useful information. One of the articles that I did see there was where you're breaking down how to go about making a website and the things to consider. And you made a strong case to make sure that accessibility is up there when it comes to designing. And that's definitely something that, again, takes your users into account and, you know, something that should be top of mind when you're designing for others.
Yeah. One of my most recent posts that has been really popular is how to get started with accessibility design, because mm-hmm. The accessibility guidelines read like a very dense textbook. There's a lot there, and a lot of it is, you know, system and developer focused. But as a designer, sometimes it's like, okay, what do I need to know? So I was doing right. that for myself, and hopefully I've translated that so it's helpful for other.
No, it's a great article, and it really breaks it down into digestible bite-sized pieces. You know, like you mentioned, yeah, it's a little bit intimidating when you go to the actual website. You're like, oh my gosh, you know.
Yeah.
It's a great article. Awesome. So now we're at our fun question, and this question again is to give our Helodies a little glimpse about your personality. And so for my fun question, I would like to know, who was your childhood cartoon hero and why?
Childhood cartoon hero. The first thing that jumps into my mind is Ninja Turtles. Me and my brother were really into the Ninja Turtles. We would I don't remember which one that I would be. We always had our go-tos, and we had all the weapons and gear, and we'd play around in our basement pretending to be Ninja Turtles.
And why? Like, what was it about the Ninja Turtles that, you know, you admired, or, you know, was it their martial arts, you know?
I think it was just a lot of fun to be superheroes, helping those in need. Being the one that was called to save the day.
Yeah. And
I suppose that translates into UX as well. You're being the hero to save the day.
There you go. There you go. Yes, it does. Well, Lisa, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. I really want to thank you for being here. Our Hellodies, I know, are going to be floored by all the resources you shared and your very insightful expertise on UX design. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And yeah, if anyone wants to reach out to me on Medium or on LinkedIn or anything, I do get quite a few questions and comments in there, and I normally do answer them. So I'd love to help, especially anyone just starting out.
Thank you. Thank you for that. After the interview, did something seem more, a little bit more explainable, in the sense of now you have a better understanding of what is a customer experience designer versus a UX designer?
Absolutely. I think the way she, I love the way she put it, that it's product thinking, and that the customer service experience designer thinks from end to end, and a UX designer is a user designer. So they're thinking about a specific product or a specific mode in which the user is going to interact with their, with the product or service or anything like that. So like the website or the mobile app, those are just pieces, and the customer experience designer just brings all that together from beginning to end and hopefully make those two weave in together. So I thought that was a great way to explain it.
Right. I definitely felt like I walked away from this interview with a better understanding of, when someone calls themselves customer experience designer, I was always like, what's the difference? Is there a different process? So it was just a little bit more clear to me after this interview. Well, this wraps up episode 3 of season 3. Different paths, one user experience, where we'll bring in different experts from various roles that contribute to the user experience. And I feel like all our Hellodies are benefiting from this series, because I feel we're all learning.
It gives us, all of us, I include myself in this, a more rounded, well-rounded understanding of not just what I do, but what other people very similar in my field are doing, so that we can all work together and understand what each other does and how we can, you know, for lack of a better word, play well together. So that everybody understands that at the end of the day, we're all working towards the same goal, which is getting a user or a customer the best experience possible.
Yeah. And for those that are pivoting in UX design, I feel like it gives them a way to be able to map out, as far as the background that they're coming, how to plan ahead and know about these different roles that, depending on their background, that they might want to branch into once they are in UX design.
Before we leave you, I would like to invite you to visit us on our website at hellox.design. and find all of our social media links to follow us, like us, and leave us reviews. And also check us out on our YouTube channel, and don't forget to subscribe.
If you would like to cover us a specific topic, or you're dying to give us feedback, send us a message via our social media channels, or send us an email to info@hellox.design. I'll repeat, info@hellox.design. Lastly, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, available on all major streaming platforms. Hey, you like what you hear? Then show us some love by becoming a sustainer. This will allow us to continue to bring you the content you're looking for and treat us to a cafecito. And like Jorgito would say,
thank you very much y muchas, muchas gracias.
And now a shout out to our sponsor, Overflow Digital. Overflow Digital, a digital agency specializing in all your professional website needs. We aim to create dynamic websites that will positively impact your business, meeting you at the crossroads of data, design, MarCom, and UX.
Before we leave, we would like to leave you with this quote. It's through mistakes that you actually can grow. You have to get bad in order to get good. And that's by Paula Scher. She's this amazing graphic designer. She's one of the most amazing people who's working in graphic design. She's also a painter. She's been working in the industry for over 40 years, and I followed her, and I still draw inspiration from her since I was a graphic designer myself. And it's just so fitting. It's so beautiful that, you know, you have to make mistakes before you get good at anything. So it's just, as our Hellodies are learning and growing, I just want to kind of let them keep that in mind.
Yes, and that is very inspirational. Okay, Hellodies. Hasta la próxima.
Hasta la próxima.